Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That was beautiful. Thank you, Brock. Good morning, everyone, and many thanks to you, both Brock and June, everyone else who helped organize. There's Bruce over there with the equipment. I'm a bit fussy about seating, and some of you are at the back. I can't even see you, and if you're hiding, now's your chance to get a front row seat. Especially if you're hard of hearing, although this mic system seems rather excellent. But it helps me if the seats are full, especially in the front. So please feel free to move forward. I can't. Sure, come closer if you're a floor sitter. And I can't move closer to you, so I ask you to fill up the front row seats. And some of you floor sitters have got a floor seat and a seat, which is fine. But I don't think everyone does, so. Yeah. Otherwise, I'll come and get you. Well, you know, it's a changing, it's like everything changing. And a little closer is good. I'll try not to knock it over. And Allie, are you in danger here? Yeah, this looks good. Mm. We did this last night, so I had practice, but I don't want to block out Sister Ahimsa.
Oh, I have no problem. Get a wire.
Good. So, I'd like to know how many of you are new to meditation. Anyone? Don't be shy. Oh.
There's a couple.
Another one. There's a front row seat. It would be helpful, sure. And then you can read my lips. During the meditation, I might give I try to give maybe some guided meditation so that if you're new, you can look up, and if you can't hear, you know, try to hear but not hear because you want to be silent, and maybe I'll try to speak quietly. So I'm still looking for the one person that I can't see. That's good, getting there. This is Saturday, and it's June the 14th. And I would like to dedicate this retreat to a woman whose first name is Ayla, and her son is a monk, and she's having heart surgery tomorrow. And I think there's certainly a lot of fear, but we will dedicate our practice to her. And I also would like to invite you to make dedications to dear ones who are ill or undergoing treatment or prayer for any family members who have passed away, and maybe this is an anniversary, or just remembering them with a lot of love and gratitude. This is something we do regularly in the monastery. And if you forget right now, but during the day you remember your loved one, or a friend, a teacher, a colleague, even someone that you don't feel an affinity with, maybe we should dedicate our practice to the government leaders. Wish them more clarity, more wisdom, more generosity, more conscientiousness. These are qualities that we ourselves are trying to develop. So when we think about why we're practicing, at first, of course, we have to get our own minds in order. But it's just like when you're a doctor or a nurse, you might not be in perfect health yourself, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to help other people who are not well, unless you have the flu, you would stay home. I think about Stephen Hawking, is that right? Yeah. Who is severely disabled, but it hasn't stopped him from accomplishing great things in his life. When I was a child, Helen Keller was my great heroine, one of them. So it's very good to think of ourselves as self-doctoring. We're looking inward to heal and recover, especially if you've lived for any length of time. There's something to recover from. And the recovery is a slow process. So this kind of practice is a great asset, a beautiful way of investing our energy. And let us not forget that the benefits will go beyond us. And we start from our unwellness, dedicating and wishing others the strength to heal, overcome, and sharing the goodness with them. I don't want to cough into the microphone because that would be very loud. We're going to spend the day in this very beautiful facility, practicing walking and sitting meditation. The Buddha taught four main postures, and one of them is lying down. So I would just ask that we refrain from lying down in the hall. However, if there's a request, we could do a death meditation. And I have done this before, and at that time we would lie down. Not everyone, but some people have practiced the death meditation in a sitting posture. And really, this is a very good thing to contemplate when we practice dying. It doesn't mean we kill the body, but we practice dying to our delusion, our desires, our ill will. This is really the heart of what we're doing. And a death meditation might sound scary, but in fact, it's a posture that we all need to practice. And so, because all of us will die, there are only two things that happen to people. Two things universally happen to us. We are born and we die. So we experience life and we experience death. And we also experience all the in-between stages. We get old, we usually get sick. Some people die in an accident when they're young, so they may never get sick. But everyone is born and everyone dies. So the practice of that particular lying down posture is a wonderful metaphor for what we must do mentally, is take the posture of letting go of things that are not well for us. In order to be able to do that, we have to practice studying ourselves. And to be able to study ourselves, we have to trust a little bit of letting go. And what you've done today is you've let go your beautiful Saturday activities, whatever they might be, going to the beach, or going bicycling, camping, relaxing, catching up on work, visiting friends, sleeping late, going on a holiday, whatever we might be doing on a weekend. In the monastic life, we don't have weekends. Every day is pretty much just a day, another day. Of course, we do have weekends. I have to recant that a little, because all our supporters have weekends. And so we know that when it's busy, it's because people are coming, and they come on Saturday and Sunday. So it's very nice to be here with all of you on your weekend and share in the teaching. I'd like to point out a couple of things that might be helpful. One of them is, if you have an aspiration to be enlightened today, that's a beautiful aspiration. But one of the things that we learn very quickly on this path is that we should acknowledge our limitations and have an aspiration, have a beautiful aspiration. But then if we expect too much, then we might get disappointed. So not to have overly ambitious expectations, and not to try to overstretch, overdo, but just rejoicing in the opportunity to do a little bit and do it in the best way we can, recognizing that you've probably had a very busy week, a busy month, a busy year, a busy life. And every time we stop, the first thing that happens is we might collapse a little bit. So do take time to breathe and relax and open to just space, just being with yourself. And by making dedications, by blessing the moment, we sort of, it's like setting up the conditions properly, sitting comfortably, realizing the opportunity, and then setting our minds on the path. This is, I'm going to do step by step, not rushing ahead, and not thinking ourselves into the future of what you're going to get. And that's really very important. Because to be present is much more important than to get. Just to be is the essence of what we're trying to realize here. The other thing is to give up the world. Coming to this place, we've never been here, I don't know how many of you have before, but today we're here together. There are many of you have never met each other. We've never met most of you. And so it's new. There are new things, new conditions. There are things that are appropriate to do, things not appropriate to do. So we try to be very conscientious and considerate. It's a community. Living in community means caring for each other. So there's a bit of letting go the world, your familiar world, and our habits of being in a familiar place. So here, just taking more care. But also, what that implies is trust. It's like we naturally trust each other. And this is a huge trust, to close your eyes and put your baggage down in front of and with, together with, a large group of strangers. However, we are not strangers, as I've mentioned. We're all brothers and sisters in birth, old age, sickness, and death. And into that formula comes also pain, joy, grief, gladness, despair, hope, uplift. We share so much. So if we can share trust, that's a very important thing. Trusting starts with ourselves. So we try to trust the situation. We trust ourselves to surrender to the situation. We let go thoughts about the past and are clinging to the past. And we give the opportunity to this situation to learn something about ourselves. So the trust is very important. And in that trust, we also put down our fear. That's something else that we share. All of us are afraid of something. If we're fearless, anyone who's fearless, I think I better hand the microphone to you. So, overcoming fear. The state of fearlessness is one worthy of us aspiring towards. One who is fearless has complete trust. But we start with letting go as much fear, as much lack of trust as we can. Still, if you need to sit in a chair, you sit in a chair. And if you're aware of your fear, then you sit in awareness of fear. Awareness of fear is a moment of non-fear. That's the power of this practice. So, I've spoken quite a bit already. Why don't we try practicing together in silence? And we'll sit for about 35 minutes or maybe a little more, and then do some walking meditation. How many of you have never done walking meditation? Oh, what a very experienced group. Lovely. So find a comfortable posture. I always suggest that we take off our glasses. And one of the ironies here is we take off our glasses in order to see better. It's an inner vision. We're wearing very neat glasses. They're not Google glasses. But they're neat because they help us to see clearly. Some of us have variegated lenses. You can see at different distances and clearly. But we're still blind. Bottom line. Blind to our weakness, our delusion, So taking off the glasses is a really good exercise. And what it means is practicing clearing the dust from our view, views of the world, views of ourselves, understanding of reality. So sitting comfortably, relax the body as much as possible. If there is pain in the body anywhere, just knowing that pain, painful sensation, we're not trying to ignore pain. We're just feeling it more and being with the sensation more to relax the mind, the mental formations around pain. Breathing in and breathing out, and notice how when you sit and meditate, sometimes the pain will feel more intense, and sometimes it will lessen. So very much the way we hold our experience affects our ability to hold or put it down, or to hold and relax with it. Not to cling. Holding not in the sense of clinging, but holding in awareness. The Buddha's instructions are to set the object in front of one, in front of oneself. One's, it doesn't mean one's nose, but it's to open our awareness to the object in a direct way, without obstacles, without wanting things to be other than they are. This is a direct experience of things just as they are, not pushing, not pulling on the present moment to change or be perfect, but to touch and soften into the experience of now, being fully present, really waking up. This is a waking up that is beyond coffee, beyond stimulations. And it's also firm, not impacted by distractions. Therefore, it's very centering. It has a balancing effect. There's nothing pushing or pulling us. We have to test that balancing for a few moments, just feeling the body, feeling the chair, the floor, feeling our sit bones compacted into the solidity of our seat, feeling the body structure rising up like a tree from the earth element. And this structure has and breath. So breathing in, breathing out, and finding the breath at the tip of the nostril. But we're focusing on the passage of wind. You think of the, or name, or call, or know, or better yet, feel the wind as the air element entering the nostrils, just that much, not following it inward, but just knowing it, feeling it as it enters into those earthy tubes in the nose or the mouth, if you breathe through your mouth. But breathe. Breathe and be present for the breathing. If the breath is easier to feel at your chest, then feel it there, feel it melting into the pores of your skin. Feel it absorbing into your deep heart core. Not hard core, heart, core, center. Breathing in and breathing out. Or breathe in your belly if that's where you most can feel the breath. Breathing in, breathing out. Notice any gap between breaths. Following the breath from the beginning to the middle to the ending. And another breath, the in-breath and the out-breath. The beginning of the out-breath, the middle and the out, the ending of the out-breath. Not skipping any breaths. So we let go of thought. We let go of time. We let go of identity. And it's just the knowing of physical process here. The mental element, knowing the materiality of the body, the form of the breath. This is a body within a body. We observe with great care as a mother holding her child, as a father holding his baby and rocking it gently. But we don't intentionally rock the breath. Actually, the breath is the mother, the father, and our knowing is the baby being held in it. This is a transition into trust. No forcing and no manipulating of the breath, but just allowing ourselves to be with it fully, completely. Exactly as it is, It may be soft or stiff, long or short, lean or full, clear or dull. However you experience it, approach, enter, be with that moment by moment. If thoughts begin to disturb this connection to the breath, we plug back in, just as you would plug your computer back in when the battery is low. We let go thoughts by connecting again to the breath, not by pushing thoughts away, unless they are so strong, then we sweep them away. It's a gentle, with wisdom. We're not here to think, but to know and feel, feeling consciously, attentively, pure presence, purely present, truly present, wholeheartedly in the body, breathing, feeling, knowing. From time to time, just check in to see if the habit energy is wandering into thought, carried away by thought. We crawl back onto the boat of the breath and take refuge there from the currents of thought. Grow the stillness there, away from the currents of thought. Rejoice there, rest here. Now. Do not forget to breathe fully present, fully attentive, just like walking, balancing on a tightrope. We would never take our attention away from the rope. So, sitting on the breath, in the breath, connecting to the breath for dear life, for clear knowing, for being with what is true. Do not let go of the breath. Any other sensations that arise and pull attention away from the breath. Oh, just like a kitten comes and scratches lightly on your foot for attention. We feel that and then kindly return to the breath. Any sound, we fold it into our breathing. We knit every sensation into the breath. Protection for the mind. To still the mind, the heart. Notice the condition of the mind. Really notice it. Is there any trace of disturbance, turbulence, restlessness, any movement at all? Is there any stillness? Any softness? Is there clear awareness? A little awareness? A lot of awareness? Notice. Just notice, don't judge, but notice. Notice the path by which you came to this. Are you all still there? Put our glasses back on and check. We'll take time now for walking meditation. Walking meditation consists of a repetitious movement, just like the breathing is repetitious. We just walk from one point to another, again and again, not to arrive anywhere, but just to experience the process of moving and being fully aware of our movement. So the idea is to be attentive and feel the body, and particularly the feet, placement of the feet. You don't try to be a ballerina or anything like that, but just really walking with awareness of each foot. And if the mind starts thinking, just as we do in sitting meditation, bring our attention back to feeling the lifting and moving and placing of our feet on the path, as if and in the sense of this is the path to freedom from suffering, every step. But we're not at the end of the path. We're on the path and we're working, we're creating the path in front of us. How do we make the path grow in front of us? How? With awareness. Sometimes I tell people, if you start thinking while you're walking, then just stop. But no one ever stops. People just keep walking back and forth. I'm sure there's some thinking going on. So the idea is that if you stop, then you can intentionally try to bring your attention back to your body. And all right, start again. Without thinking, just feeling, pressing on the ground, lifting, pressing the foot. And if your thoughts come over you, just sweep them aside. And you do that not by focusing on the thoughts as much as calling your mind back to being present for the experience of walking, just feeling the air on your face, the body, the movement of the legs. Again, it's not a thinking practice. It's a being with, a knowing, a consciousness. And keep to your own experience. Don't be looking around, examining everything else. Examine your own inner experience. Feel. Connect. Stay with it. And we'll do that until 10:45. Would someone ring the bell? Yeah? And also, while you're walking, as when you're meditating in a seated posture, remember to smile. Have this, not an artificial grin, but just an inner kind of relax into it. Like, what a privilege, what a joy, what gratitude we can have for this opportunity. We create our own path to freedom, but we have to put effort into it, a balanced, loving, kind, gentle effort, and sometimes quite strict. A kind parent is not just letting a child do what it wants, but to parent is to care for. Caring means setting a boundary. Walk attentively, feel. Setting a track for the mental attention. Here, not there, here. And this is our training. So we train ourselves. Please enjoy it. Go ahead.